thing. Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show. My name is Don Allen over in Studio A, and Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing on this beautiful Wednesday night?
I really can't complain, Don. We had a little bit of, wet weather earlier. It was a beautiful sunrise, and then we had some turbulent weather, per se, a little rain and during the day, but then it lightened up around 4 o'clock. So what more can you say? And everything is in order. The legislature has completed its business and has made available some significant dollars, according to some, to the African American community. And hopefully, we had been hoping to get the leader, if you will, and head man at Emerge, $4.2 million that they're handling now, and. They will be looking after a number of African American organizations, as I understand it, if you will. So the Somali community comes out with $2 million, and then another $2 million set aside for GEDs, whatever that means, but then that's for GED programs all throughout the state of Minnesota. So anyways, the legislature has completed its business. It did not get a lot of bills through on our transportation and et cetera, so the potholes that you've been hitting out there, you're going to continue to hit them during the summer. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I've been hitting a lot of those in some strange places, Mr. Edwards.
Yeah.
On some streets in St. Paul where they're not supposed to be potholes because them Porsches, that suspension can't handle it.
I know it. And on our freeways here, there's a patch up there going towards that turn going out towards Maple Grove and up towards St. Cloud and the right kind of communities. A lot of holes there, you know what I mean? So, hopefully the governor will decide to let them have a special session. Of course, the governor said something that was correct. He said, if you couldn't get it done in 3 months, how are you going to get it done in 3 days? I mean, if you have a special session, but that's for them. But at this point, the African-American community, the Somalis, Native American, Mexicans, everybody are maintaining that they had a fairly decent payday. Now, Donald, I've been trying to talk to my sources around the state. The NAACP, which indicated that they were expecting $33 million, I understand they didn't get anything. What the heck happened?
You know, Mr. Edwards, I was looking at the legislation, HF House File 2749. I was looking at the $4.4 million for agriculture. The appropriation is $14 million for natural resources.
Uh-huh.
In 2016-2017 is $14 million. And then ecological and water resources, $612,000. And I just wondered, Mr. Edwards, can black people get into forest management and get some of that $3.5 million?
That's what we're going to have to do.
As
you were speaking, Don, I was thinking in terms of, our people love to fish. They go out and fish at the small lakes and et cetera. Some do have contacts and go up on the big lakes, Mille Lacs and places like that. What you're going to have to do is go into the fishery business raise a little fish, if you will, and then be able to get some of that money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's called cultural assimilation. That is the sociological term for
now. We've only been in the state since 1804. But obviously we haven't learned enough about wildlife and wild animals and the environment and et cetera, though the issue of environment did not become popular until the late 1960s, early 1970s. But if we're looking for some money there, you know, you got what you got to do is go into the hatchery business. You know, particularly given what's happening up in Mille Lacs with the walleye, you know, that is the Minnesota's fish, though I think it's the muskie that is the fish, but everyone loves the walleye.
Mr. Edwards.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm looking at this, you know, because I think there's some jobs here being created, like the Fish and Wildlife Management, $50,000, the second year from the Game and Fish Fund for fish violence surveillance. I want to be the person that does fish violence surveillance, including fish testing and high-risk
waters. Well,
you can
have that job. You can apply for that job as an African-American. All you have to do is know what time in the morning and what time in the evening the fish go to sleep, you know, what time they wake up. I mean, really, I'm being serious, and when they spawn and et cetera. And once we learn and teach you that, you may very well be able to get a job with the Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, you know, game recognizes game. I know when the fish spawn and getting horny. I could be out there checking them out
that's the way we want you thinking.
Now,
we also have some way up around International Falls, Lake Rainy, and places like that. We follow the path and the development of the wolves and et cetera. You know, we have a little island there in Lake Superior, where it appears the wolves are dying out. There's only two on Little Island there, which is about, I don't know, 80 miles north of Duluth. You know that area up there, Don, Lakeshore Drive and et cetera. Now, we can get you into that. We could probably assign you, give you an interim program, and send you up towards Lake of the Woods, you know what I mean? Up there along the Canadian border, just north of International Falls. I mean, there are things that you people can do that will get you, you know, some of that money. You know, now it used to be your people were agrarians, if you will, you know, toiled and tilted the land and et cetera, but we took away most of your farmland and kind of urbanized you. But, you know, we can get you back in the farming business.
I would appreciate that because, you know, Booker T. Washington was a champion of the agricultural piece, and it seems like, you know, that $4.4 million, it seems that, you know, somebody could have broke off something from Mr. Michael Cheney and Sweetie Pie and all the stuff of the lots he's been digging up, you know, going around and asking people for, you know, the city, especially for these lots, and, you know, have these kids out learning how to grow snap beans, tomatoes, lettuce, cabbage, basil.
Mr. Allen, you've been doing your homework because, you know, we have urban gardens. We have urban gardens.
Yes.
And we have tried to encourage the little colored children to learn how to plant, if you will. It's kind of like, you know, the African-American didn't know how to plant and tilt the soil and et cetera. But, you know, we can get you involved. Mr. Cheney is, I think, an excellent illustration of an African-American, you understand, who understood, you know, getting a return back from God's green earth and black dirt, you know what I mean? But people will just have to kind of work it out a little bit. Now, I do remember back in the 1950s and 60s, there were some programs to help the Negroes get involved with agriculture and things like that. But, you know, you people lost so much land. I refer anyone who doesn't know the new millennium and et cetera to a series of articles in Ebony Magazine, used to be the flagship of black publications in America. Kind of we lost that, too. Ebony Magazine, a gentleman by the name of Lerone Bennett, just a genius, if you will. And he wrote a hell of a series on... Ooh, do you know, Don, it was over 6 million acres of land was lost by African Americans after the Emancipation Proclamation?
Mr. Edwards, did I hear you say you people?
Yes, you're
that's racist as hell.
Oh, my. Hey, well, see, that's how they talk when they burn the midnight oil, you know, over there at the legislature and et cetera.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that appears not to be the only place. You know, no, we get to the serious. Well, what we were talking about is serious. A lot of conversation today in our beloved city. We have, after 16 months, let's give a drum roll.
Okay.
After 16 months, we finally have a permanent superintendent. We've been talking about wildlife, et cetera. We brought a gentleman here, or we're bringing him here, from Alaska. In fact, I understand he's a big Sarah Palin fan. He was the superintendent of the Anchorage, Alaska school district there. Anchorage.
Oh, up north, where they can see Russia.
That's across the Bering Sea from Nome, Alaska, which Nome is about 300 miles north of Anchorage, and about 200 miles to the west of Fairbanks. But yes.
Edwards,
the gentleman, was born somewhere in northern Minnesota, in close proximity to Bemidji, Minnesota, which would kind of remind you of some parts of Alaska. Now, there's a peculiar mystery here, and that is that the gentleman who was selected last night on allegedly a unanimous vote after rejecting the candidacy of, an African-American woman, who also is commissioner of education here in the state of Minnesota, but some of the representatives of some of our organizations, the NAACP and others quoted in the paper this morning as indicating that Casillas just didn't have the experience. I'm not quite understanding. The woman has been commissioner of education for the entire state, but all of a sudden she doesn't have the experience, whatever that means. You know what I'm saying? But the vote was 6-3 to reject her, and it appears that our black representatives were split right down the middle, 2 against her, 2-4. I'm just trying to get a feel, and our phone lines are open as always. I'm just trying to get a feel of what did she lack in credentials that did not allow her to be a successful challenger, if you will, or applicant for the position of superintendent of the third largest school district in the state of Minnesota. Again, people saying she didn't have the experience. I'm puzzled, like I said, Mr. Allen, because she was the commissioner of education for the state of Minnesota, right? For all those out there, she also was an assistant superintendent in the Minneapolis Public Schools. That was kind of omitted in this morning's edition of the paper. But anyways, we have a new superintendent. And he said he wants to familiarize himself with the student population, if you will, of Minneapolis, and get to know people and et cetera. Now, there was a search committee. Am I correct, Mr. Allen? We are all both looking at the same wire service reports. There was a search committee that searched, right? Now,
yes, there was, sir.
Did they only advance 2 names?
Do you know what? I've been trying to get in touch with someone. Actually, I'm still doing it right now as we speak, to ask them, someone who sat on the search committee. He's been on the show before, Mr. Tito Wilson, to ask him, was there only 2 people, or was just this a dog and pony show? And how in depth did they really go for the search? Because not to go backwards, Mr. Edwards, because I think, this superintendent has to know that some of the kids, some of our children in the Minneapolis public schools will never know what it's like to taste a green bean off the vine that they've grown. They'll be eating canned green beans all their life, and that experience, is part of the experience of education. So he has to be a broad thinker. And I don't think that this search committee went in depth. Number one, I don't think they brought appropriate people forward, and I just thought it was a community, we're going to get the community involved, we're going to pick some people that aren't going to say much, and we're going to go here and ram Alaska down our throats. That's what I think.
Well, here's another question for our listening audience, and again, our phone lines are open here
yes,
on the program, from calls all over the country and et cetera. Anyone is welcome. we've got a problem with something called a superintendent's license, right? You have to have a license, if you will, and that is, you know, pretty challenging. I well remember an African-American – oh, there it is again. I well remember an African-American superintendent by the name of Peoples, Tonda Peoples. And I remember when she was selected as superintendent about a decade ago, that one of the things that happened, she did not have a superintendent's license to be in charge in the state of Minnesota, but the rules and regulations allowed a specific period of time to acquire the necessary credits and et cetera. And I remember how she was attacked, even by some in our own community, because she didn't have the necessary credentials. Now, I'm hearing, first of all, I read in this morning's paper, Star Tribune, you know, if the Star Tribune says it, it's the gospel, right? The Star Tribune said that he will need 2 years to acquire his, it's called a variance. Is that correct, Mr. Allen?
Yes,
that he will need he will need 2 years to acquire that, and I'm puzzled on given an individual with the kind of academic standing that he has, why it would take 2 years to acquire the necessary credits. And maybe the search committee could help us on that. You know what I'm saying? Because I assume that the search committee, as they interviewed him, asked him questions relevant to his current credentials.
I think we have someone from the search committee calling in right now that we should get him on the air and kind of ask him the questions.
Let's get him on the air because we can answer that and help us answer some of these questions.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the Ron and Don Show. This is Mr. Wilson.
Hey, what's up, Don? How you doing, Ron?
Hey, what's happening?
Fine, Mr. Wilson.
Thanks for calling. To our callers, this is a businessman in North Minneapolis, a great barber, Mr. Tito Wilson, with us tonight. And he's on the Minneapolis Public School Superintendent Search Committee. So I guess our first question, were there only two candidates?
So, what's your question?
Was there only two candidates?
In other words, what was the process, or was there a process, Mr. Wilson, of elimination?
Absolutely, there was a process. I mean, when we first, I'm going to let you know up front, I can't call other candidates' names. So with that being said, I mean, when we first got started with the committee, we had seven candidates to vet. And then, you know, that was our first meeting. Next meeting we went down to five. And then the meeting after that, we went down to two. You know, many of us on the committee wanted to actually present three, but you know, they ended up that choice ended up being voted down. So we were only able to present two candidates to the board.
Let's do this, Mr. Wilson. Give us a little background on the structure of the search committee, starting with how many people were on there, and if you could give us the racial mix of the committee. And when you said that there was a vote which determined that three would not go forward, only two, I mean, how did that break down along the lines of the committee? First of all, how many people were on the committee?
There was a total of 11 of us, three board members, three Minneapolis school board members were on the committee, and two student committee members, and the remaining were just, you know, one myself and one, she owned a consulting company that actually put the committee together, and then, you know, the other was just various, like...
Okay, so you had three school board members, two students, that's five, and then you had an additional six individuals, including yourself, and you say one of those six individuals was an individual who was the owner or headed the, or was the chief executive of the search firm?
Okay. Consulting
firm.
Consulting firm.
So we're clear and transparent. So the The search firm was different than the consultant firm, right?
The consulting firm was just the firm that put together the actual 11, well, other than the school board members, put together the remaining members of the committee.
Eight members, yes.
The search firm was strictly for vetting the candidates, the actual superintendent candidate.
Okay. Now, did you have a chance? I noticed that two of the school board members went to Anchorage apparently last week and talked with movers and shakers in Anchorage, though they couldn't get a fix on why the gentleman's contract was not renewed. Now, did any other members of the search committee, were you offered an opportunity to go to the site of the five finalists before you got down to two? I mean, did you have a chance to visit any location where one of the candidates had worked as a superintendent or assistant superintendent? Were you able to do any travel?
It wasn't set up like that. We did.
Oh.
We did everything through Skype. You know, we Skype with the candidates from their various hometowns. And interviewed them that way.
Okay. So you came down to the final two, and I think it was a week ago that you had a couple of community meetings and kind of introduced people. Is that correct? Is that a correct narrative?
Beginning of last week, before they actually presented their case to the board. I mean, there was a couple meet and greet sessions at various locations around Minneapolis, and then they presented their cases to the community at the Davis Center. You know, both of them had an opportunity to present their case to the community.
Okay, you kind of did like a Q&A.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They didn't go in at the same time. It wasn't like a town hall meeting.
Okay.
So just, one spoke first and then the next one. And then, the very next day is when they presented their case to the actual school board.
When you say full board, you're talking about the Board of Education, the nine members of that board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, did you, as a member of the search committee, did you folks have a grading system? And could you share that with us if you did, or, I mean, how did you grade them based on their presentation?
Well, there was a few questions that we had to ask, and I'd have to dig them up. But pretty much it was questions about their ability to handle large districts, comparable to the size of Minneapolis, and
mm-hmm.
Based on what they were saying. Their ability to handle budgets and stuff like that. So yeah, we rated them. We rated the candidates on how.
Okay, you did a 1 to 5, 1 to 10. I mean, if you could just share it with us. We're not asking you for how you scored them, but so you had a rating system. Okay, all right.
Yep,
now let me ask you a question, and we appreciate you taking this time because obviously community certainly wants to be educated, if you will. Now, you mentioned districts, and what is the size of the Anchorage school district?
In terms of student population, it's 48,000. About 49,000 students.
Anchorage, 48,000 students? Okay. And if I could just ask, what is the population of Anchorage?
The city itself, I'd have to look that up. I don't have that actual answer.
Well, okay. Let me just do the general math with you, because we obviously have computers and everything in front of us. Now, Minneapolis indicates it has 37,000 students in a city of a little over 400,000. Okay, so we can expect that by an increase of 10,000, that Anchorage is a city of around what, 500,000. Or do they have a municipal / county school district?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to look up, or you could look up, or Don, either one of y'all could look up the size of the city itself in terms of population. We weren't given that information.
All right. Let me ask this question. At some point in time, I assume, doing the vetting, if you will, and I know you were obviously very dependent upon the consultant that was a part of your committee, and specifically the six non-school / board of directors / two students. So did the question ever come up, or can you share that with us? Did the question ever come up about credentials?
Which credentials?
The credentials that are required of a person who wants to be superintendent or has been superintendent, and the ability to conform to the requirements of the jurisdiction in which they're in this case, the state of Minnesota. And the reason, of course, we asked that, I think you already know, the reason we asked that is because just before you joined us, Mr. Allen and I were talking about the copyright story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune and all the news media here, that there will have to be a request for a variance because the heir apparent is not licensed to be a superintendent in the state of Minnesota. And they have indicated it will take 2 years.
Let me tell you something. Based off of how the information was given to us, is that it doesn't matter where you come from in any part of the country, that, you know, and I'm sure it's probably the same with, you know, between other states also, but the deal is, if he's not a student, nobody that lives outside of the state of Minnesota that is a superintendent in another state has a Minnesota superintendent license. So the deal is, it's just a reciprocity issue that needs to be
reciprocity situated. Is that right? Okay. And there are no compacts between states as it pertains to the issue of reciprocity.
Well,
is that what you're saying to us, or is that what you were told as a committee?
Apparently, there must not be. Whatever it takes to get a Minnesota superintendent license, their standards don't meet Minnesota standards. So the deal is, it's just about, you know, the variance and you know, getting that situated. But he is a superintendent, a licensed superintendent, but licensed in the state of Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, how much of an absence was there with regards to the unsuccessful candidate who also happens to be the Commissioner of Education for the state of Minnesota? What credentials did she lack?
Well, I mean, again, you know, these things that you're asking, we didn't get into. I started to ask questions after we had had these two candidates selected. But our job was not to go into their licensure. That's a state thing. You know what I mean? That's not – clearly the search firm vetted these people. And, you know, they had to meet requirements in their state in order to be able to be selected – I mean, to be candidates here. So – you know, in terms of the legalities and all that stuff, that's beyond my scope of understanding.
Okay, your pay rate. I understand. And so that was something left totally to the 9-member Board of Education, though 3 of the members elected were on your committee. So you had it. Could you identify the 3 members of the Board of Education who were on your search committee?
I mean, that's public information. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know. That's why we got you. That's why we have you on, to ask you.
Well, Nelson N., Siad Ali, and Kim Ellison.
Okay. All right. They were the 3 representatives from the board. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's interesting because, wow, 2 of those 3 voted for Ms. Cecilia. Right.
Actually, all three of them did.
Oh, there you go. All 3 of them did. Okay, that's interesting. All right, Mr. Allen, you have Mr. Wilson with us, and certainly Mr. Wilson. Well, go right ahead and meet some questions. My colleague, Mr. Allen, may have. And again, we appreciate it, Mr. Wilson, you giving us the time that you're giving us.
No,
go ahead, Don.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I just want to set the record straight to make sure our listeners are getting the right information. According to Minnesota Administrative Rules 3512.0200, Education Experience Requirements for Superintendent, Principal, and Director of Special Education. An applicant for licensure as a superintendent or principal must have field experience of at least 320 hours or 48-hour days to be completed within 12 continuous months in elementary, middle school, junior high, or high school as an administrative aide to a licensed and practicing school principal for principal's licensure or a licensed and practicing superintendent for a superintendent licensure. So
in the state of Minnesota or?
In the state of Minnesota.
All of those are,
the field,
okay.
State of Minnesota. I'm just reading off the Minnesota statutes. The field experience must include 40 hours or 1 week at each level not represented by the applicant's primary teaching experience. So what this guy's going to have to do is he has to come in underneath someone with a superintendent's license according to the state law. Now, he'll get a variance, but he has to complete either 320 hours or 40 hours with a superintendent, which means that he'll be in training for the next year or so or 2 years before he's able really to take off and do what he needs to do. Because if you look at the Anchorage school system, it has one of the most diverse school systems in the U.S. at all levels. It has 44% white, 5% Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander, 6% African American, Alaska Native American Indian, 9% Hispanic, 11% Asian American, 11% and biracial or multiracial, 14%. And it has large Spanish contingencies or Spanish-speaking students. And Mr. Wilson was right. There's 48,500 students. The district encompasses 2,000 square miles. It's ranked 97th in size among U.S. school districts and has more than 130 school programs. So this was put together. I want to give credit to sociology professor University of Anchorage, Alaska, Chad Farrell, who got this information together for the district and put it on their websites. There are letters here. I'm trying to look for their actual students. Here we go. How they're doing academically and just kind of see what it is that they have going on there academically, which I don't really see immediately, but I'm kind of thumbing through the Anchorage. My inclination is that they aren't doing any better than or even worse than the Anchorage school.
Well, now let me just say, Mr. Allen, from the left, I have to caution you because a couple of the school board members were quoted in this morning's edition, again, of the Minneapolis Star Tribune as saying that one of the, if you can call it, reverse attributes against the interest of Ms. Caecilius was that she has not done well in helping to reduce the academic problems amongst students. Now, it appeared that the school board member was speaking directly about that, which was under her auspices and et cetera, as a elected member of the Minneapolis Board of Education. So, obviously, there is some documentation there that indicates that they were doing an outstanding job in Anchorage under the previous superintendent who has now become and is being offered the position of superintendent in the Minneapolis school system. Let me go back, Mr. Allen, with you, because I'm looking at my computer here. You said something about one would have to tutor under a current superintendent with appropriate credentials under the statutes that you cited at the very beginning of your reflection and dissertation. And you kind of said something that was interesting is that would the individual with the soon to be appointed and hired principal from Anchorage, Alaska, would he actually be able to find enough time in a day to be able to accomplish all that and at the same time run the district? Because with the departure of Mr. Gore, and apparently the rumor that Mr. Thompson is next, I'm not sure who is it in the Minneapolis school system currently that has the necessary credentials relevant to the statutory reflections that you read on the air.
I'm glad you said that. Mr. Edwards, because enter Bernadier Johnson again into our lives.
Whoa!
So, I think that bigger cap.
Man, we're getting
Bernadier,
a lot of background. Are we having some NSA interference there? I'm hearing people's doors slamming. Is that us or is that Mr. Wilson?
That's my daughter's just playing.
Oh, okay. Your daughter's. Okay. They go to South. Okay. Gotcha. Go ahead, Mr. Allen. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Okay. So what's going to happen is I think that former Superintendent Johnson is going to appear again, or else they'll tap one of these. There are people out here, Mr. Edwards, with superintendent license, and majority of them are professors at these local universities.
Uh-huh.
They do not work in the school system. So with the variant, he has some slag time to see if he even likes his job and wants to stay here, but I give this guy less than 2 years before he's out of here.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. I would say the same thing. Now, by the way, again,
well, can I ask you guys why? Like, why?
Oh, basically,
Mr. Allen, you were the one that made the statement. Mr. Wilson has asked you why.
Basically, the requirements that they're asking here are the same thing that don't let teachers from other states come in here and work at Minneapolis Public Schools or the public school system here in the state. Because the Minnesota Board of Teaching has such strict, they're basically highbrows. They think that, you know, you have to take all these extra classes. That's why a lot of the native-speaking, Spanish-speaking people from Brazil, Spain, and other places that come here and work at these Spanish immersion schools have to get variances. Then they have to go to school, pay a lot of money, $10,000, $15,000 to get the master's in teaching or the requirements, where they have to take undergrad courses again, just to meet the state's requirement. You know, they forced the Shakespeare on you and that kind of crap. And this, it looks like from what I'm seeing here, let me go back to superintendents. It says superintendents, principals, and directors of special education, a specialist or a doctoral program or program consisting of 60 semester credits. And beyond, the bachelor's degree include a terminated degree in topics preparatory for educational administration, and the Minnesota competencies identified in 35 Part 12. Let me just go there. Collaboratively assessing and improving culture and climate, which is leadership under one, providing purpose and direction for individual and groups, modeling shared leadership and decision making. Okay, that's all bogus. Organizational management. There's several things. I think that I don't know if this was shown to the search committee of the Minnesota Administrative Rules, but I think that this would have swayed everything into Commissioner Casales's lap because of the qualifications she's already had. Now, I understand that the NAACP education chair was totally against this sister getting this job, but that's neither here nor there because they made this choice.
She made no reference to against Bernie Casillas. Her questions were strictly about how the search committee, how their process was ran. She didn't speak against Bernie Casillas, not in any public, and not at the public comments. Now, she's made comments elsewhere. I don't know of those, but not at the public comment time, did she speak against Brenda Casillas?
Well, I have a data request in because I'm looking for a letter that was sent by the education chair of the NAACP, not in support of.
Oh, my. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, so that we have no dispute upon the receipt of that letter, Mr. Allen, under the Freedom of Information Act, be our responsibility if such letter exists to make sure that it is aired and certainly made public, because the reflection in this morning's edition again of the Star Tribune apparently indicated a significant lack of support, and that reflection was made right after the identification of the cell phones and et cetera going off was made right after the issue about the fact that Commissioner Casillas had done a very poor job on upgrading academic testing and et cetera here in the city of Minneapolis, you know, whatever that's supposed to mean. But go ahead, Mr. Allen. Just additional question. You know, Mr. Wilson asked the question, why, and you certainly have responded with respect to statutory reflections and et cetera.
Well, but you know,
could I ask this question, gentlemen? Does the heir apparent, if you will, presumptive superintendent, that's a great word nowadays in America, I've noticed he was not referred to as a doctor. Does he have a doctoral in education, to the best of your knowledge, Mr. Wilson?
To the best of my knowledge, I'm not sure on that.
Okay. Mr. Allen, you have
we never
on your site
never
there.
Referred
does
to him
Ms. Casillas have a doctor's?
Yes, she does.
Doctor?
Yes, she
Big
does.
Big pardon, I'm sorry. You said what now?
Yes, she does.
Yes, she does.
It is Dr. Casillas.
Oh, okay. Because earlier, Mr. Wilson, I had asked a specific question. What was lacking as pertains to Commissioner Casillas as it pertains to what it was that was possessed by the gentleman from Anchorage. Okay.
Right, and that's why I asked you to be specific. Like, what exactly did you mean by that? You know, credentials.
And Mr. Allen responded by reading the statutory requirements of the state of Minnesota and also indicating how difficult it is to get through that. And that was generated by, again, the published statements that it will take at least 2 years for the presumed our new superintendent of schools to be able to get the necessary variance. And by the way, the state board will be voting on that, I think, at the end of June. Yeah, okay. Mr. Allen, anything else? Because we've taken a lot of Mr. Wilson's time. Appreciate him.
Oh, I'm okay. I mean, I thought I was going to get more questions, man. You guys haven't asked me enough.
Oh, is that right? Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you indicate to us what it is we haven't asked you?
Well, plenty. I mean, you know, I thought you when I saw Mr. Allen Sposer said, you know, I can't remember verbatim, but sad day in Minnesota. And I just, you know, I want to know why you guys, or at least Mr. Allen, you know, that's what I saw. Why do you feel like it's sad day?
Okay, I can explain that. I just think academically, I know how hard Commissioner Casillas has worked, and the achievement gap, the problems that go on in schools, the teachers, and everything that she's tried to put her hands in, she can't do it by herself. She's running
Absolutely.
This big organization all across the state. So mm-hmm. I thought that out of anyone, you get some homegrown talent, even though this guy's from Bemidji, he's from Minnesota, but someone like Brenda Casillas could get in there and actually who knows the players, and that's part of the problem why they didn't want her there. She knows who's in there already. She knows what's been going on for years, and they didn't want that. So they want to snow job the other guy, and it's not a race thing at all. I just feel experience-wise, Dr. Casillas could have went in. She knows the players, and we could have had a fix or something looking different within the year by the next MCA2s. Now we're going to have to sit back, pay this guy six figures, and while his replacement, Dr. Dina Paramo, is up in Alaska doing what she needs to do. And we got to remember, this guy is a, how do you put it? He was a filler. He was a place card superintendent in Alaska. Because the other superintendent
right, the other
ahead
person stepped down after about 9 months or, yeah.
Yeah, there was something going on there anyway.
You know what I'll say? I'm just going to be honest. The deal here is, you know, we got Ed Graff as a superintendent. Had Brenda Casillas been selected, I would have been happy with her also. I feel like she's capable. You know, I feel like she's very, very smart and intelligent. You know, highly qualified. But the fact of the matter is what I believe, and a lot of people were trying to make this about race and, you know, oh, the board went for, you know, the white guy over a sister from Minnesota and so on and so forth. I think the problem is when we focus on those things, we kind of really lose sight because we spend too much time focusing on the character versus the race of the character at the top. And we spend time focusing on what's going on with the kids. Brenda Casillas, I mean, she was she's education commissioner. I think she spent, they said, like 9 months or something around that time as the actual superintendent in the East Metro District. So questioning her capabilities would be foolish. But in my opinion, I feel like this district is time to turn the page. It's time, you know, and we can say all we want to say, oh, this guy's going to take this time and blah, blah, blah. But we don't know what would have happened had Brenda been there, just like we don't know what's going to happen with this guy's there. And I think we'd be wise as whatever our positions is in Minnesota, whether we're educated, whether we're school board members, whether we're parents, business owners, or whatever, I think we'd be wise to support not only just the new superintendent, but support the Minneapolis School Board and everybody involved, because at the end and even at the beginning of the day, the ones that we're trying to produce for are the children. And we get so caught up in this adult and who's this and who's that and, you know, this person needs a shot and blah, 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 and we lose sight of the most important people.
Right, right. But Mr.
Children.
Wilson, let me ask you a question, because you've kind of laid out a challenge, you know, what the questioning hasn't been as tough as you expected and et cetera, which I'm not sure what you really expected.
I'm just thinking about more.
Let me ask a couple of questions. That I assume that you have, you know, examined, analyzed, and et cetera. Let's do this. When you talked with this individual from Anchorage, Alaska, did the issue of charter schools versus public schools ever come up, or are you able or allowed to?
Not charter schools versus, no, it wasn't charter schools versus public schools at all, no.
That never came up as a part of discussion? Did that ever come up with Commissioner Casillas? Never.
I mean, you know, a few of the candidates did speak about, you know, their work with charter schools. Ed Graff was one, you know, but it was never public versus charter with any of the candidates, no.
Now, when you say Mr. Graff indicated that he has experience with charter schools and private schools? In Alaska?
No, I said just worked with them. It worked them from being a superintendent, like partnerships, you know, done work with them just to ensure that all children are...
Oh, okay. In the Anchorage area? Is that what we're talking about?
You know...
Because that's been the only place that he's been a superintendent, right?
Right. Well, as far as I know, yeah. You know, and again, I don't know where these charter schools are at, you know. I don't know that, but he mentioned something about not that he actually worked in a charter school, but just being collaborative, you know, with charter schools and other private schools and, you know, those type of things. But it was never one versus the other, never.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this question. Did the board there in Anchorage give him a letter of accommodation and recommendation, because there has been an issue raised, not by, you know, Don and Ron, but in the Star Tribune story and in other discussions as it pertains to the conditions in which he left after, what was it, 3 years as superintendent in Anchorage. Was that anything that ever came up, that was ever discussed? And again, I repeat the question, was there a letter of accommodation from the Anchorage School Board?
If it was not presented to us.
Okay.
If there was such a letter, then it was not presented to us. You know,
I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go right ahead, sir.
I drilled him a couple times on, you know, why your board, you know, decided not to renew the contract, you know, was there issue or whatever? And based off of, you know, just to summarize what he said is that, you know, he came in, he did some of the things that he did, he put practices, policies and practices in place, and, you know, he felt like he was getting results, and a new board was ushered in, and they just decided to go a different direction. That
A new board.
Was,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
New board. Well, not, I don't know if it's a complete new board, but just the same way we get various new members, so on and so forth, on our board. Yeah. So and the board, the Minneapolis board, actually confirmed that because they knew that that was going to be a major sticking point for most people. You know, why is it, if he's doing such a great job, why is it that his board refused to renew his contract? And so Jenny Arneson, she laid it out for us last night. She said that, you know, no one had anything negative to say about Mr. Graf. You know, the best that they can determine is the board, for whatever reason, they just wanted to go a different direction.
Okay, well, that is
so
kind of,
no,
you know, peculiar.
Guns,
that,
no
that,
smoking
that
guns.
That was the
no
rationale and the logic. Let me ask you this. Was there any weight to any recommendation provided on behalf of Commissioner Casillas? Are you aware of any recommendation of support for her tenure and her familiarity with Minnesota education? Are you aware?
I'm not sure if any. I know people speak about it. You know, speak about her and, you know, want her. But
well,
I don't
let me
know
ask this question: exactly. Was there a letter of a recommendation
again,
and accommodation from the governor of the state of Minnesota?
That I could not tell you. I could not tell you. We were not; those things were not part of our information or vetting or fact finding or whatever. And probably the reason why those things were not presented is so they would not sway our decisions. We were chosen to interview the candidates, go through their resumes and bios strictly off of that, and not off of, well, this person is, you know, saying great, or this person is saying no way, or whatever, you know, in no kind of way we would have a biased opinion. We're just judging strictly off of the information that was presented to us and their interview. So I
their interview with the search committee that you're talking about by Skype.
Which
by
was
Skype.
Us.
Yes, okay,
absolutely.
Certainly. Mr. Allen, go ahead. Any questions there? If not, we can begin to wind down with Mr. Wilson. Appreciate the time and that he's provided us.
I give him about a year and a half max, and I don't think we'll see any changes in the MCAs. I really don't think we'll see changes at the district headquarters. I'm just reading some of his bio stuff, and I'm already nervous. So, and I don't like being nervous, and he has a master's degree.
Do you think there would have been a difference if Bernie could say you think there would have been?
Oh, yeah. I think there would have been. I'll tell you.
Okay.
She's
been commissioner of education for 5.5 years. I mean, why are the grades, you know, testing grades and, you know, overall outcomes for African Americans and Native Americans, ELL students, why are these things in the dumps? You know, why?
I can explain that.
And I would also respond to that. That's a good question, Mr. Wilson,
and
I think we have some response for you. Go ahead, Mr. Allen, and I'll come in after you.
Okay. Being an educator, the first thing, it's not the commissioner's responsibility to make sure the test grades are correct. That's why she has teachers. They have teachers in all these schools. Second of all,
that.
When you have two bozo senators giving money to some guy that can't read a front page of a newspaper that's supposed to have systems for kids where they get $200,000-$300,000 and they're supposed to go into school and does not go to the teachers for resources, that creates a problem. Where you have a community that poverty is a distraction, where there's no new deal for urban moms and there's not a first things first with positive expectations, that's a huge problem. So you got kids going to school today. Example, I worked in St. Paul at a high school where a little Hispanic girl was so hungry that she was shaking. Do you think that student can learn? That is not Brenda Casales' fault, that she can't learn, she can't take a test. The city and the schools are complicit in the failure of our kids.
I agree.
Brenda Casales knows this. If she had the opportunity to do what she needed to do in the first place without all this bureaucratic red tape and stepping on DFL people's feet, which are the main cause, because they all stand in office right now, is leadership, I think she do a great job in the Minneapolis public schools. Now, you can't, no one here can sit back. Any teacher could tell you exactly what I'm telling you, that they would support her for Minneapolis public schools before they support anybody else. The teachers are not happy. I'll just tell you that right now. You know, and the aides, the people without teaching license, the sneaky, surreptitious SOBs walking around who whispering in people's ear, they don't know no better. You just have to pray for them and forgive them. Okay, so with that said, what's happening here is poverty is a distraction. You have violence. You have 200, for North Minneapolis, you have 240 nonprofit agencies. You have 2008 to 2013, you know, over $400 million put into that area, and we still have the same stuff. So if nothing changes for these students, the grades aren't going to change. Now, this guy could go in there with his, let me just see what that program he had, Discovery something crazy. Oh, yeah, Destination 2020. He had planned on staying in Alaska for a long time with his plan. He is focused on Destination 2020. The district strategic plan, Mr. Graff, has a key role in the selection and implementation of many of the initiatives in the plan, including response to instruction, Common Core state standards. Hello, no one's listening. Common Core state standards and the new K-8 math curriculum, which is devastating for African-American children. He places high value in professional learning opportunities to ensure that they are timely and right for all individuals, where it's a new teacher or experienced teacher or a new material that's being implemented in the classroom. Mr. Graff believes commitment and focus on efforts would ensure the district supporting students first, maintaining a focus in the classroom and working hard to create high expectations for everyone. High expectations. How do you create high expectations when there's no expectations for African-American students? So with that said, that's why I said I give them a year and a half before they'll be searching for another superintendent. And I sure would like to be on the search committee. Go ahead, Mr. Edwards.
All right. So, but hold on,
my question, a couple of questions, because Mr. Wilson was kind of. Mr. Wilson?
If you can. Certainly. I just want to say something to that, and then you know, you, if you don't mind, please.
Go right ahead.
All those. Okay, thank you. Don, all those things that you named, you know, in terms of poverty and all the issues that are around it and all the, you know, nonprofits and so on and so forth. You know, superintendent after superintendent, and all of those things still exist.
But then the superintendent's
not the problem. Right. So then why do you say, you know, Ed Graff coming in, then he only lasts a year and a half because of all these things that exist. It would be the same deal if it was Brenda Casillas. The problems that we have here in Minneapolis and many other urban cities around the country are deeply entrenched, systematic problems, you know, as it relates to outcomes for African-Americans and others as well. You know, it's education, it's housing, it's, you know, hunger, you know, it's health. You got many, many different issues. Education, in my purview, is the biggest, if without an education, that's the biggest barrier to being able to, you know, live comfortably, you know, live a good life. So the deal is, whether it's Brenda Casillas, whether it's any of the other candidates that would have been there, whether it's this Ed Graff guy, you know, until we start to fix some of the systemic problems that pervade, you know, our communities, then it doesn't matter who in the world we put in, a superintendent or teacher, you know, we'll have small successes, but on a large scale, we'll still be in the same turmoil. And I don't feel like Brenda Casillas would have, I mean, she may have done, you know, different things or whatever, who in the world knows, but we still have larger problems that outweigh what a superintendent can handle. So, I mean, when you say you give Ed Graff, you know, a year and a half, I would hope at some point that we would rethink that, because the deal is, if kids are not learning, then all we're doing is passing time. You know what I mean? We're passing time. We're getting kids from one grade to the next, but they're not achieving success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what the problem. For me, like I said, my choice really was for EGRA, but it would not have made me a bit of difference had it been Brenda Casillas, because the deal is we got to support that person and hope and pray and work with them that they go beyond a year and a half, and not just because of the time, but because of the success. And if all we're going to do is muddy the waters before they get an opportunity to walk in it, then we're equally responsible for the problems that we see in our community. And that's the fact.
Well, at this point, I appreciate that and et cetera, but I'm not sure that all of us have to take responsibility, because there are many of us that can talk in terms of the battle. But let me do this, because you kind of opened the door here for something that's interesting. You know, everything I just heard you say, Mr. Wilson, I'm aware that is what has been said on numerous occasions to many of the current incumbents on the Minneapolis Board of Education, which is going to at some point raise a serious question about their own motivations and et cetera. Example, let's give a couple examples. Brenda Casillas, who herself had experience, first of all, Brenda Casillas is a daughter of the city of Minneapolis, born and raised in public housing, a true success story, if you will, okay? And so that's an absolute, that's given. So, but that apparently carried no weight. Now, here's a couple of problems. Number one, Brenda Casillas will be the commissioner of education for the state of Minnesota and will have authority and jurisdiction over all school districts, including the third largest in the state of Minnesota, special mm-hmm. school district number one. Mm-hmm. I have to say to you, sir, that you were quite concise and to the point with regards to your own observations and et cetera. Here's the problem we're getting ready to run into. Those were many of the same observations and et cetera that have been made by the Dayton administration and specifically Commissioner Casillas to the Minneapolis board, particularly when members of the Minneapolis board have come to the legislature and have talked in terms of their success, which oftentimes cannot be documented, and have talked in terms of additional funding for the Minneapolis School District, which seems to have problems even counting at an elementary level. I'm talking about, you know, that 2 and 2 is 4. Now, Ms. Gaglin, who is a school board member who presents herself as a great liberal, has expressed, unfortunately, in some quarters, her disdain for Brenda Casillas because of the vetting and examination by the commissioner of the Minneapolis School District and, quote-unquote, its own failures and success. And, of course, she was extremely familiar with what it was she was talking about, she being Commissioner Casillas. She was born and raised in Minneapolis, went to the Mass Public Schools, worked at a high level within the administration and et cetera, and in fact, as an outgrowth of differences within Superintendent Bernadette Johnson, was asked to leave. Now, we haven't even gotten into that, but you can believe that that's being discussed. Now, what is the feeling? And I'd like to get Mr. Allen's also in this. How will the incoming superintendent be able to work with the current commissioner who has such an in-depth knowledge and has been very much involved in the examination and has raised serious questions to board members, particularly Ms. Gaglin, who is the treasurer of the board, about what kinds of efforts the Minneapolis Special School District has really been making to deal with this monumental problem that you so well articulate. Now, that becomes a question. I'm hearing people already talking in terms of the process of healing and et cetera. Now, my question is, well, why do we need to heal if everyone is satisfied that there was nothing wrong, there was no skullduggery, And unfortunately, I do not concur with you that race did not become an issue. Race truly was an issue. I've been in this town too long. I've been here since 1945. I'm a product of the Minneapolis public school system. I know all of the politics that have gone on and et cetera. So I'm afraid that race was a factor, if you will. But I close with this, Mr. Allen and Mr. Wilson. What will be the relationship between the superintendent of the third largest school district in the state of Minnesota, who's going to have to turn things around pretty quick, according to Mr. Allen's analysis and et cetera, and I think others, and what will that relationship be with the African-American community? Because the statistical data that Mr. Allen read about 45 minutes ago was that only 6% of the students of the Anchorage student body was African-American. This is a community that is about to boil over. Mr. Wilson, you know that. There are discussions that happen all the time in your barbershop, your hair salon, and et cetera. There is a lot of resentment out here. There's a lot of hostility. And the question becomes, how well can it be handled? Can it be handled? And can we, in some way or another, turn away from the polarization that is already gripping us? Now, I go back to the commissioner's familiarity, number one, with her city, number two, with her school district, and number three, with the politics that has been played by a board that seemed to reject the importance that black perfection and black excellence made a difference. And so I leave that question with you, gentlemen. We don't have enough time to go back and forth and et cetera. But I'm concerned, as a longtime veteran, as an observer, as an activist, journalist, author, and all of that, that there may be insurmountable damage that has been done that would reinforce Mr. Allen's observation that this incoming superintendent may have a life expectancy of about a year and a half, no more than two. And, gentlemen, that's one of the ways that I see it. And I think that we're on an extremely dangerous path, but let me say to you that there are many of us that are not buying by any shape, form, or fashion that race was not a factor. You know, everybody that was quoted in this morning's paper going all the way back to Carol Johnson, and I know, Mr. Wilson, you and others don't even have a history of Carol Johnson and the kind of educator and superintendent she was, but I find it amazing. Now, Alfred Flowers is maintaining that a Caucasian woman who has been very much involved in the school battles and et cetera made the statement offhand as a part of the celebration kind of last night that there had been too many black superintendents in the Minneapolis public school system. She went on her website earlier today saying that she didn't say that. Flowers indicates that he has people who overheard the conversation. That's, you know, here nor there.
Okay.
But if we want to pretend, sir, that race was not a factor and that race will continue to be an issue, then we're just not being real.
Okay. Now, I hear what you're saying. But when I talked about race, I talked about from my perspective. I can't go into other people's minds, the board members, any of the selection committee members, and tell you what they were thinking. For me, I had to look beyond the race of the person that we were interviewing. And let me tell you my reason here. I got a tremendous amount of respect. You said I don't know anything about Carol Johnson. That's fine. You know, whatever you say. Okay, I got a tremendous amount of respect for anybody, whether it's Carol Johnson, whether it's Tawana Peoples, whether it's William Green, whether it's Bernard Diaz, Michael Gore, and beyond, even before they came into power. I got a tremendous amount of respect.
Well, let me just, for the purposes of historical reflection, the only one that you missed is probably the best of all, and that was Richard Green. But go ahead.
Okay. I call Green. I said Bill.
No, you said the other Green. See, people kind of get confused because there were two African Americans named Green that 15 years apart were superintendents of the Minneapolis Public School District.
Okay.
Now, you're on point. No problem. Go ahead.
Fine. Okay. So the deal is I got a tremendous amount of respect for anybody that steps into that position, particularly so in a state like Minnesota and a city like Minneapolis. Okay, tremendous amount of respect. Okay, but the reality here is you know, at some point, we got to start to look at things as who is going to do the best job for our children. To me, it wouldn't matter if well, you know what? There is a name that's already out there, so I'm not revealing his identity. Okay, Michael Thomas. Okay, his name's out there. He was one of the candidates. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. In our last meeting, I fought long and hard for probably – I probably held our meeting up.
Go ahead.
Hello? I probably held –
Don't worry.
Okay. I probably held our meeting up for about an hour, longer than what we were supposed to be there, fighting to have Michael Thomas as one of the candidates to present to the community. Okay?
Okay,
so
I got you.
For me, I was thinking, yeah, you know what? Ed Graff has presented his case.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded good. I liked the way he answered his questions. Very precise and concise. You know, did a great job. Bernie Casillas, she did hers very, you know, same thing. Very well presented. Michael Thomas, same deal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There were people on the committee. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to name who they were, but, you know, the people on the committee that just decided that, you know, no, Michael Thomas, a lot of the teachers said that we want to have someone that's been a teacher before. So we're not going to present it to the community. I fought having there, particularly because he is African-American. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But once it got down to, well, this is what we have. Michael Thomas is not going to be one of the candidates. This is what we have. We have Ed Graff. We got Bernie Casillas. My deal is I lean more towards Ed Graff because I like the way he presented. And all we have when we're being presented is the information, and we are to use our very best judgment in, you know, determining who of those, you know, those two people that we like the best.
All
okay,
right.
Like I said, for me. Hold on. For me, it could have been. I prefer Graff, but it could have been either one, and I would have did everything in my power, and then also try to convince anybody that was going to go against her. If it had been Brenda Casillas, I would have said no. We need to work with her because it's about the kid. All right. So from my vantage point, it didn't matter. The whole race thing didn't play a part in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But just if we can, just for a second. If we're going to hinge on the race card, then I would say if we can go back our last five, if we include interim time for Michael Gore, our last five superintendents have been African American, and I'm no way means of whatever disrespecting them in any shape, fashion, form, whatever. Okay, but we're just going to play with it for a second. Our last five superintendents have been African American. All right. So let's hang on to that for a second. Now let me ask you a question. Okay, think about where we are right now with student outcomes. Okay, if we're going to talk about African Americans, Native Americans, ELL, special ed, you know, all these different things. Think about where we are. Think about how long we've been there, and then you tell me why the heck does it matter if we get somebody in that we believe. And it's yet to be seen, we believe that can do the job. That's what, for me, I took race off of the table. Because to me, I said, you know what? Certainly we want to empower our own people. That, for me, that's first and foremost. I want to empower our own people. But I don't want to empower our own people at the expense of the children that's coming up, of them not being empowered. Okay?
Right.
We have African-American kids suffering. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to blame it on the last five African-American super. I'm not going to blame it on them, but I'm going to say if we're going to hinge on the fact that we need an African-American, then I say you tell me, you give me the results that they've made that has empowered African-American children in the city of Minneapolis. Please tell me.
Oh, there have been circumstances and situations where some of the individuals have, in fact, empowered, if you will. But then gets us into the conversation about who is it out there that is depowering them, if you will. And that's for another program and another discussion.
Yeah, I know.
Election.
I know, because
yeah,
that,
and we will talk about
y'all
that.
Talk about we, that.
We, we've
y'all
already
don't
talked
talk
about it. In fact, Mr.
No,
Allen, well, Mr. Wilson, I think Mr.
That.
Allen did an excellent job of laying that out when you asked that question about an hour ago.
No, he told me about rules and regulations of Minnesota.
Yeah, well, but that's what governs the society.
All right, but we're not.
If not, then we become savages.
That's
so, you know, we understand. We understand the process has been completed. The gentleman from Anchorage is the next superintendent of schools. He's going to correct the problem. We're just not going to be able to talk over each other because I'm able to keep right on talking. So what will happen, we will wait.
How about this? I'll be quiet and let you speak since you can't answer my
question. Well, I'm not only going to do that, but we're also going to thank you for being with us, okay?
Appreciate it, brother.
You've taken a lot of time. You've laid it out.
Thank you.
You've talked about what it is. We've got some callers waiting. We probably
all
have
right,
some
no problem.
People
hey,
that
John,
have
come
different
see me
opinions.
At the time, man. We'll talk more, bro.
Sure, bro. We sure will, bro. We'll
all
do
right.
that, bro. Okay, take care. All right. Mr. Allen, do any calls? I mean, I think that was commendable. We have no race problem in Minneapolis. Race was not a part of what happened in this election process. You know, we need a white warrior. To give us guidance, you know, Mr. Wilson
but
said
you know,
it. You know, the last five superintendents didn't know what they were doing, and they have aided and abetted the continued demise of the African American child. So, hey, you know.
Well, you know,
but go
every,
ahead, Mr.
Allen. Mr. Evans, it's like Hollywood. Every good movie needs a white savior. From Avatar.
It's all gone right. That's right.
We need a white, we you know, black people, we just can't do it for ourselves. We have to have, you know, and I'm not a racist because I hate everybody equally. So, you know, we got to have that savior that can come in here, someone that, you know, that can culturally assimilate us to their thinking, their, you know, eating quiche in the morning on Saturday for breakfast.
Absolutely. And let me just say this, Mr. Allen, if we have any callers out there, we'll get them in quickly. Well, we are going for another 16 minutes. One of the messages, though, that has been delivered in the course of this historical event in the context of who it was prevailed and who it was lost is that we do know that black excellence does not matter. So we need to stop spending all this time talking about Black Lives Matter now. We need to be careful about that because I'm already hearing discussions that folks are going to start taking a more aggressive response and defensive posture. But we understand. The gentleman is coming to us from Anchorage, Alaska. He's going to get his portfolio in place, if you will, okay? And once he gets that portfolio in place, if it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. He is going to change the course of academic achievement and perfection for the African-American and other students of color. That's what's been said. And so we look forward to the first meeting that the new incoming superintendent has where he has a room full of African-Americans far in excess of anything he ever saw in Anchorage. Oops.
Yeah, exactly.
Give that phone number out, Mr. Al. We still got about 14 minutes. I mean, I think, again, though, we want to thank Mr. Wilson.
Go ahead, caller.
Caller,
you're live on the air. Go ahead. Okay, I think he just wants to listen. So the thing is, Mr. Edwards, you know, here's what I just think. I mean, I'm looking at this guy. I've been reading all this stuff today. I've been spending way too much time on Ed Graff. I just want to see how he handles the hustlers, the poverty pimps, and clergy that are going to come at him, and to see if he's the Teflon dude that they think he is. Because, you know, last night, Tuesday night, they were really praising him. You know, I thought, you know, we talked about this earlier. I thought a couple of the board members were just going to, you know, splooshing their drawers up there on the pedestal talking about
this man.
And so, I mean, I want to see what's going to happen and how this is all going to work out. And I'm just going to sit back and watch.
All right. Mr. Donald, let me do this at this point. Take this time because we do control this program. I want to put forward a white hero. His name is he is an employee of the park board, okay? And
okay.
I just want to put his name forward as an individual who has stood tall for African-American rights in this city. And he has been actually forced out of his position at a golf course here in Minneapolis as a part of the public school, the public park system, if you will. And so I'm just hoping we have it in our column. I was going to go into greater detail, but we really don't have anything approaching that because I'm hearing the new doctrine is that we need white leadership, you understand, to solve this problem. Of course, it was white leadership that created the problem, okay? None of those black superintendents that were named were a part, quote unquote, of creating the problem, okay? And I can tell you, as one who went to school starting in 1945 in the Minneapolis Public School District, we had the problem then. So obviously it had been here for a long time. But anyways, so I just want to indicate that over at the park board, see, the president of the NAACP, who is elated at the appointment of the gentleman from Anchorage, actually was on the right road when she raised questions to the park board about their policy of benign neglect and racism. Now, I'm hoping that they are as aggressive, if you will, as it pertains to the situation involving a white employee who, because he has been hiring African-Americans, is being forced out after, Mr. Allen, 25 years. Okay?
Yep.
Now, who would have thought that racism had existed in the Minneapolis park system for all that time? Oh, I'm sorry, because 30 years ago, myself and a gentleman now deceased by the name of Danny Davis, one committed gentleman, African-American, a fighter for the civil rights of people and such, we filed a complaint against the park system 30 years ago in order to change the system of racism and apartheid in that organization. But anyways, we know that it is the white child that will lead us out of the wilderness. So that's one of the things that we're hearing as it pertains to the decision. And it's quite obvious that the excellence that Brenda Casillas brought to the table, brought to the interview, if you will, and brought forward the knowledge of what was happening in the Minneapolis public schools, did not deserve to be a black thing that mattered. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Allen? So, anyways, I understand the message. But go ahead, my friend.
Well, getting on, you know, I'm glad that Mr. Wilson called and kind of cleared some things up. And I just, like I said, I'm still going to stick with my year and a half or year estimation because I don't think that this guy's going to, you know, we'll see. We'll see, Mr. Edwards. I mean, we done beat this like a dead horse.
We're probably being negative. You understand?
Yeah,
because we're being told that, you know, that basically the last five black superintendents are the reason for the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we now have someone who is coming to us from Alaska, from the state that gave us Sarah Palin. Oops. And is going to bring a new narrative, if you will. Now, you said something very interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the new superintendent, and I'm just hoping that people like the NAACP and Mr. Wilson and others help to facilitate the series of meetings that will bring this man into the – even. And he's a native-born Minnesotan, so he has an understanding about, oops, Minnesota nice, okay? And he also should have an understanding about, I don't know, the last time he's been back here in Minnesota, but he should also have an understanding of Minnesota nice and Minnesota racism, right?
Right, right.
So we can look forward to this is a situation. I've heard some white folks today say that this is a situation whose time had come. Okay? That the African-American, the Negro, the blacks had been given an opportunity to make change and had not done it. And that's one of the reasons that I happen to mention that we have a situation at the park board as an example in which will be a real test for the champions, quote unquote, we need white folks to lead us to step
yeah.
forward to defend Mike Baker. By the way, is the name Michael
yeah,
Baker?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
great
you
guy,
do that too,
great guy.
You know,
but go ahead. Are we down to the last? Yeah, go ahead.
But you can see that too with the $4.2 million awarded to Emerge. Bypassing the Minneapolis Urban League, which might have to shut its doors by October, and a couple other agencies, and all these people so excited that Emerge got the money that they done succeeded, that they won something. And if they recall, Governor Dayton, Mr. Dayton, said he was going to put $100 million aside.
Yeah,
and
yes,
I don't know
yes,
how,
he did. And let me say this also, Mr. Allen, Mr. Wynn, who is a Caucasian, has been meeting with some of the toughest black folk that you'd ever want to see, and he was really talking sideways to them, and they have asked him specifically in a meeting yesterday what are his intentions, what is his plan, and et cetera. He doesn't have one. But, again, no, Michael Wynn, who I've known since he was born, if you will, knew his mother and father, who worked with us in the 1960s, he, too, will lead us into the promised land as they divvy
yeah.
up the money. So
yeah.
we have seen a change, if you will, philosophically and spiritually here in our beloved city, and I think that we need to understand that. But the thing that I know that I come away, I can only speak for myself, that I know now that black excellence and all other aspects of blackness really don't matter.
I would have to agree that there was 100%. It's pretty interesting what they have going on these days. And I know I'm listening to these people chatter on the telephone and on social media about this $4.2 million that was awarded by our state legislature to this agency, to Mike Wynn, to Emerge, actually. And it's going to be kind of hard to divide that up because, you know, Build Wealth Minnesota, which is inside the Urban League, got a few $100,000. And, you know, they pay rent to the Urban League, so that's what might keep them open until October.
Okay.
I know what everything goes into effect, I think, July 1st, if I'm not mistaken, or the new turnover.
Well,
or
here's
like
what
that.
Mike Wynn said to a group of young African-Americans who are holding the peace, by the way. This particular group that has, you know, brought about at least some it's a sensation end of violence and et cetera. He told them that at best he couldn't do anything and be able to get back to them before October. And the projection and prediction
is
right now
fool.
That, well, yeah, that we could probably have another 15 or 20 African Americans shot and dead, and another 65 to 80 to 100 have been shot. I mean, that's, you know, but hey, what the heck, you know, it's like some of the great movies. So I feel like we're looking at a remake of a modern version, which, by the way, is due to open sometime this late summer. Don, what we're looking at is the second stage of Birth of a Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second stage of Birth of a Nation.
Okay. Okay.
You
I'm
know.
Just looking here to see if we have any callers. We have no callers. We have about 2 minutes. The number is, again, is 347-426-3904. You're listening to the Ron and Don Show.
And, again, want to repeat that Park Board has a lot to hide right now with this situation with Mr. Baker and the fact that he is being pushed out because he has hired too many African-Americans, including young men and women, at Theodore Worth. Both the Power 18 course, as well as the Power 3, and I think that it is so sad, but it is one of the reasons that the board was so angry with the NAACP president. What they were basically conveying, that this is the second edition of Birth of a Nation. Things have changed. It will be back to business as usual. Again, the second adaptation of Birth of a Nation. Don, let James Brown take us home.
Take it away.
Take it away.
Just as you, as I take you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.